Janini turned to Teleborian. "This sounds as if the reason my client refused to eat was that she did not want the psychotropic drugs you were forcing upon her."
"It's possible that she views it that way."
"And how do you view it?"
"I had a patient who was abnormally difficult. I maintain that her behaviour showed that she was a danger to herself, but this might be a question of interpretation. However, she was violent and exhibited psychotic behaviour. There is no doubt that she was dangerous to others. She came to St. Stephen's after she tried to murder her father."
"We'll get to that later. For 381 of those days you kept her in restraints. Could it have been that you used strapping as a way to punish my client when she didn't do as you said?"
"That is utter nonsense."
"Is it? I notice that, according to the records, the majority of the strapping occurred during the first year. 320 of 381 instances. Why was the strapping discontinued?"
"I suppose the patient changed her behaviour and became less agitated."
"Is it not true that your measures were considered unnecessarily brutal by other members of the staff?"
"How do you mean?"
"Is it not true that the staff lodged complaints against the force-feeding of Lisbeth Salander, among other things?"
"Inevitably people will arrive at differing evaluations. This is nothing unusual. But it became a burden to force-feed her because she resisted so violently."
"Because she refused to take psychotropic drugs, which made her listless and passive. She had no problem eating when she was not being drugged. Wouldn't that have been a more reasonable method of treatment than resorting to forcible measures?"
"If you don't mind my saying so, Fru Giannini, I am actually a physician. I suspect that my medical expertise is rather more extensive than yours. It is my job to determine what medical treatments should be employed."
"It's true. I'm not a physician, Dr. Teleborian. However, I am not entirely lacking in expertise. Besides my qualifications as a lawyer, I was also trained as a psychologist at Stockholm University. This is necessary background training in my profession." You could have heard a pin drop in the courtroom. Both Ekström and Teleborian stared in astonishment at Giannini. She continued inexorably. "Is it not correct that your methods of treating my client eventually resulted in serious disagreements between you and your superior, Dr. Johannes Kaldin, head physician at the time?"
"No, that is not correct."
"Dr. Kaldin passed away several years ago and cannot give testimony. But here in court we have someone who met Dr. Kaldin on several occasions, namely my assistant counsel Holger Palmgren." She turned to him. "Can you tell us how that came about?" Palmgren cleared his throat. He still suffered from the after-effects of his stroke and had to concentrate to pronounce the words.
"I was appointed as trustee for Lisbeth Salander after her mother was so severely beaten by Lisbeth's father that she was disabled and could no longer take care of her daughters. She suffered permanent brain damage and repeated brain hemorrhages."
"You're speaking of Alexander Zalichenko, I presume?" Ekström was leaning forward attentively.
"That's correct,"
Palmgren said. Ekström said, "I would ask you to remember that we are now on a subject which is highly classified. It's hardly a secret that Alexander Zalichenko persistently abused Lisbeth's mother," Giannini said. Teleborian raised his hand.
"The matter is probably not quite as self-evident as Fru Giannini is presenting it."
"What do you mean by that?" Giannini said.
"There is no doubt that Lisbeth Salander witnessed a family tragedy, that something triggered a serious beating in 1991. But there is no documentation to suggest that this was a situation that went on for many years, as Fru Giannini claims. It could have been an isolated incident or a quarrel that got out of hand. If truth be told, there is not even any documentation to point towards Herr Zalichenko as Lisbeth's mother's aggressor. We have been informed that she was a prostitute, so there could have been a number of other possible perpetrators."
Giannini looked in astonishment at Teleborian. She seemed to be speechless for a moment. Then her eyes bored into him.
"Could you expand on that?" she said. "What I mean is that in practice we have only Lisbeth Salander's assertions to go on."
"And?"
"First of all, there were two sisters, twins, in fact. Camilla Salander has never made any such claims. Indeed, she has denied that such a thing occurred. And if there was abuse to the extent your client maintains, then it would naturally have been noted in social welfare reports and so forth.
Is there an interview with Camilla Salander that we might examine?
Interview?
Do you have any documentation to show that Camilla Salander was even asked about what occurred at their home?
Salander squirmed in her seat at the mention of her sister. She glanced at Giannini.
I presume that the Social Welfare Agency filed a report?
You have just stated that Camilla Salander never made any assertions that Alexander Zalichenko abused their mother, that on the contrary she denied it. That was a categorical statement. Where did you get that information?
Teleborian sat in silence for several seconds. Giannini could see his eyes change when he realized he had made a mistake. He could anticipate what it was that she wanted to introduce, but there was no way to avoid the question.
I seem to remember that it appeared in the police report, he said at last.
You seem to remember? I myself have searched high and low for police reports about the incident on Lundergarten during which Alexander Zalichenko was severely burned. The only ones available are the brief reports written by the officers at the scene.
That's possible.
So I would very much like to know how it is that you were able to read a police report that is not available to the defence.
I can't answer that, Teleborian said. I was shown the report in 1991, when I wrote a forensic psychiatric report on your client after the attempted murder of her father.
Was Prosecutor Ekstrom shown this report?
Ekstrom squirmed. He stroked his goatee. By now he knew that he had underestimated Advocate Giannini. However, he had no reason to lie.
Yes, I've seen it. Why wasn't the defence given access to this material?
I didn't consider it of interest to the trial.
Could you please tell me how you were allowed to see this report? When I asked the police, I was told only that no such report exists.
The report was written by the security police. It's classified.
So Seppo wrote a report on a case involving aggravated assault on a woman and decided to make the report classified.
It was because of the perpetrator, Alexander Zalichenko. He was a political refugee.
Who wrote the report?
Silence.
I don't hear anything. What name was on the title page?
It was written by Gunnar Björk from the Immigrant Division of SIS.
Thank you. Is that the same Gunnar Björk who my client claims worked with Dr. Teleborian to fabricate the forensic psychiatric report about her in 1991?
I assume it is.